we scaring the fish away? Imagine more than 1,000 snorkelers descending on Maui's Molokini crater each day. Now with data in hand, State Aquatics Manager Russell Sparks talked to us about what's at stake as we try to get our hands around over-tourism in an area that we are charged with protecting.
You know, it was set up as a marine life conservation district in 1977. That's just shortly after Hanama Bay was established on Oahu. As, you know, one of these really kind of unique geological features, it's a offshore islet, you know, kind of eroded volcanic caldera with a coral reef inside the middle of it, you know, and it's kind of halfway between the island of Maui and Koholave. So it's given that it's offshore, it's in the middle of a channel, you know, it has much better water quality, cleaner water, less impacts with pollution and sediment and things of that sort. Oh, the reef out there is actually doing quite well. And in terms of taking visitors or people to go out and snorkel, it's one of the very reliable areas where the water is going to be clear. You know, it's as a marine life conservation district, there's a fair amount of fish there. So it's just one of those areas that has become kind of iconic in Hawaii. And, you know, tourists who come here generally have that as one of the places that they want to visit.
So what's the problem?
Well, there's a lot of tourists coming here. Back in 1995, the marine tour industry themselves actually, you know, suggested to the department that we set up kind of a system to restrict future growth and to try and prevent it from becoming too crowded. And we worked with them to set up a permit process, so a limited entry permit process based on the operations that were working at the time. And that was set up that there was 42 permits. They're non-transferable, so when businesses went out of business, those permits were supposed to disappear. But fast forward to today, 25 years later, only two of those permits disappeared, so there's still 40 permits. They generally are sold with the corporation, so even though the company may no longer, you know, or maybe they want to retire, that permit is transferred on. And over that time, the boats got bigger, the number of people going out increased, and we're now looking at, you know, 40 commercial tour operators that are permitted to go there, many of them taking 149 passengers as their limit. Basically an average number of about 360,000 visitors a year being taken out to Molokini, and it's a pretty small area.
Now, what has the research shown? I mean, how's our marine life doing?
The coral out there is actually doing quite well. Again, it's out in the middle of a channel, so it's kind of insulated from a lot of those land pollution impacts that other sites experience. It's deeper water, so even though there's a lot of people taken there, most of them are snorkeling, and they're not able to really interact with the coral on the bottom too well because it's, you know, it's fairly deep, 20 feet or more. So overall, the coral is doing okay. It did experience bleaching in 2015, and there was, you know, about 15% mortality on some of the reefs out there. But it seems to be recovering, at least at this point. The bigger concern we have from the ecosystem is that many people and that many boats coming out at that same time every day is having an effect on displacing some of the species that are more mobile, like the reef predators. So we did do a study on that, and we found that when there's about 12 boats or more, about 50% of the main reef predator, the omilu or the bluefin trevally, is displaced out of that shallow reef into the deeper waters around the crater.
So the trevally saying, okay, too much, I'm out of here.
It appears. And we are also seeing similar signatures on some of the reef sharks and other fish. The issue with the trevally is that that's its prime habitat. During the day, it uses that shallow reef, the same place where all the people are going at the same time. So that's the one where we see the biggest impact because it's being pushed away from that habitat that it wants to be using at that same time.
So we're changing the behavior.
Changing the behavior of that fish and very likely many other fish. That's one that we were able to do this work on because it moves a fair amount. And so we were able to put transmitters in it and measure where the fish were going at any time. But it probably signifies that there's movement and changes of behavior of all the fish. it's just much more difficult for us to be able to measure that. There's marine tour operators who, you know, their businesses are dependent somewhat on Molokini. They employ a lot of people. They, you know, serve some important roles in our community, and we don't want to put them out of business. But we do want to see if we can't work with them to change their schedules slightly and reduce those situations where there's excess number of vessels and people at the same time. Just kind of spread it out a bit. And that's kind of one of our main goals here, is to see if we can control those really bad crowded days, kind of spread out the use a little more, and then also continue kind of a monitoring and checking how things are going and see, you know, if that's having an effect and if we need to make more changes or not.
Well, here at Hanama, we give the resource a day to chill. Can we do that for Molokini?
That's been suggested. It's interesting. Hanama, the area, is actually managed by the city and county of Honolulu, not by the state, even though in the water area is a marine life conservation district managed by the state. The city and county is managing the park and the access facilities. And so my understanding is that Tuesday, I think, that they close it,
right,
is actually to maintain the park facilities, right, to do whatever they need to do with the restrooms and whatever other facilities and kind of clean things up and get prepared for people to come again on Wednesday. What we have found is that there is a change in behavior and amount of fish in Hanama Bay during those closed days. So you see the fish coming in closer, and you see some fish there that you don't normally see. But, you know, whether or not that one-day break has any long-term effect is questionable, right? Because you Wednesday, you go right back to the same routine. So what we're thinking for Molokini would be better to just try and control the crowding level year-round, right? So try to prevent it from exceeding a certain threshold. Not simple. I mean, the permits have, you know, a fair amount of value, so we can't just take them away from commercial operators. There's been some thought about maybe purchasing permits and you know, getting rid of them. I do think, however, based on my discussions with the industry, that we can work out compromises where we just kind of shift their schedules a little bit and coordinate a little better and reduce the crowding so we don't have those really busy, busy days. I think that's the first step anyway. We could look at other things like buying out permits.
What about the recreational boaters? You know, what if my cousin wants to go?
That's another major concern of this effort, right? We want resources should be free and accessible to everyone. In fact, non-commercial users should have a higher priority than commercial users. And at Molokini, because of the number of commercial operators, it becomes very difficult for non-commercial boaters to go in there and know where they can go and tie up and to have a space to swim around and enjoy the area. So, well, a couple of things that we're proposing. One would be to have two moorings in the crater dedicated for non-commercial use only. So at any time that a non-commercial boat goes in there, as long as one of those two moorings is open, they have a place to go. Beyond that, all of the moorings would be kind of set up on a schedule whereby they're used for commercial use only during certain periods of time, but after, say, 10:30, they're all available to everybody. So the non-commercial boaters would have those two moorings at any time, and any of the moorings after 10:30, kind of on a first-come, first-served basis. And most of the commercial operators leave by about 10:30, 10:45 anyway, because, you know, their tours are set up where they have to get back before the wind picks up, et cetera.
Right, because the conditions change, and maybe the viewing's not as good.
Right. And so we're kind of looking at that as an approach. But, again, part of the reason for this meeting is to get input from the community as well and see, do they have other ideas or suggestions on how we could make the area more accessible for non-commercial boaters and also control the crowding?
Yeah, because when you say 360,000 people visit there, it's like, wow.
It's a lot. And that's average. That averages out to about 1,000 people a day, but there's actually probably about 60 or 70 days a year where the weather is too bad to go there. And so really you're probably looking more like 12 to 1300 people a day on busy days, all in that small area, generally during the same two-hour time frame.
Wow. So over tourism in an area that's not very accessible, but you feel it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, one of the things we did is we commissioned a social caring capacity study back in 2009. And these are social scientists, and they ask a lot of questions from the customers before they go out and then after they come back about, you know, kind of what they expected and what they actually experienced. And what that study found was that well over two-thirds of all respondents reported being crowded and feeling like there's too many people, there's too many boats, the boats were too big, there are too many people, things of that sort. And at that time, there was, on average, somewhere around 300,000 visitors a year, and now we're up around 360,000. So it's gotten worse, crowding-wise, but based on that study, it was over capacity at that point as well.
Russell Sparks is a Maui-based aquatic biologist with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. The state has set up a community meeting to talk about management concerns for Molokini and the need to update its administrative rules. That meeting set for Thursday from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Dekahi Community Center.